Let's get it on right now.
Hey, boys and girls. Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Colvin.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to the Rockcast. I am your host, Monty Colvin.
What a dork you are.
So glad you could join me. And holy crap, is this going to be a great episode. Because on today's show, I have absolutely nothing planned.
As usual.
That's right. On this episode, I will be doing something completely different.
Oh, like what?
I will be spinning the giant wheel of segments, and wherever it lands, that's what I'll do.
Wow.
So let's get right to it. Yes, much like you'd see on a show like, say, Wheel of Fortune. There's just no way of knowing what it's gonna be until it stops. And it looks like the first segment of the day is gonna be... I'm just saying.
What is that?
Okay, I'm just saying is where I talk about any number of topics. And I didn't really have anything planned, but let me give it a shot.
It's potentially nightmarish.
So on the last show, I told you that my six-year-old stepson is playing T-ball now. And so far, they've had four games, and they've yet to record an out. And the problem seems to be that none of these kids have any idea whatsoever as to how to catch a baseball. So the games are extremely high scoring, but that doesn't really matter because they don't keep score. After all, if they kept score, that would mean that someone would lose and get their feelings hurt, and we couldn't have that.
Absolutely not.
Yes, political correctness has even snuck its way into children's sports. But fortunately, the kids don't know that, mainly because they don't know what the hell's going on about anything. They're just as happy climbing the fence in the dugout. And really, the only reason why they're there to begin with is because we forced them to be there. The boy would much rather be at home watching SpongeBob, but as parents, we made the decision that he should get some fresh air.
You're mean.
But that's nothing new, because you basically have to think for a six-year-old. Especially a boy, because at that age, they really haven't developed a brain yet.
You're right about that.
And of course, I'm not talking about the kids in China. If you're a six-year-old Asian kid, you've already mastered the violin. But if I don't grab onto the boy's shirt, he will run straight into oncoming traffic. But it's not just him. I've noticed his entire T-ball team is like that.
They're crazy!
Not one of them is capable of making an intelligent decision or ignoring a shiny object.
They've got to be punished.
So all in all, I'd have to say that T-ball is helping me understand the mind of a six-year-old. And the whole thing has been a good learning experience. For me. Not so much the boy. I'm just saying.
Ah!
You know, after losing record deals and my parents passed away and I went through a divorce, I thought maybe my life would get a little less complicated. But no, it turns out it's just one continuous day after day frustration festival. And I'm not even talking about jobs or money problems. I'm talking about those little things that just eat away at your soul. Take food, for example. Why is it that every time I like a product, they immediately take it off the market?
I don't know.
I know I've mentioned it before, but I used to love these things called Snyder's Garlic Pretzels. I was so addicted to those things, and then suddenly they were just gone. I looked everywhere, I couldn't find them.
Oh!
Sure, you can find them in Virginia or North Carolina, but not where I live. So I thought, okay, I can deal, I'll go with the nacho cheese flavored.
Ah, there you go.
About a month later, even those completely vanished from the shelves.
No!
At this point, my only options are to go with the black market or possibly jalapeno, but those are way too spicy.
They're disgusting.
Same thing happened with my favorite cheese dip, and Walmart stopped carrying corn nuts.
I'm outraged.
And apparently somebody at Target found out that I liked the blue corn chips with flax seeds, and I haven't seen a bag there in months.
This is a tragedy.
Now, I know I shouldn't take all this personal, but I do. I don't know if I'm cursed or God just hates me, but should it really be such a pain in the ass to get some pretzels or a bag of chips? I'm just saying.
It's not fair.
You know what else bugs me?
What?
Facebook.
No kidding.
Yeah, but don't get me wrong. I love my close friends and family, and I've connected with a lot of fans out there who are really cool. But every now and then, I've got to deal with some real smartasses.
What?
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about. My dad used to call them wiseacres.
Dickheads.
And the problem is, a lot of people don't even know they're being jerks. I mean, just because I've made some albums in my life and you've listened to them and like my music doesn't mean it's cool for you to come on my Facebook page and insult me.
Well, why not?
Sure, I guess it's your God-given right to do that. You can say whatever you want, but just don't get offended or be surprised if I come back with a few smart-ass comments of my own.
You're hateful.
You see, back when I started my career, all we had were magazines and fanzines, and they could say whatever they wanted about me without fear of repercussion. And then along came the internet, and we got websites and message boards, and people could go on there anonymously with a screen name like Biff Mayhem or Son of Satan, and they could criticize and be as douchey as they wanted.
Oh, that is so nice.
But these days with Facebook, all privacy has been done away with. People know exactly what you look like, where you live, who you're married to, and sometimes the boundaries get crossed, and sometimes I have to bite back.
You jerk!
I mean, back when I was on tour all the time, I tried to be a really nice guy to people. If you wrote me a fan letter, I'd try to write you back. And I'm talking writing it out with a pen, sticking it in an envelope, and taking it to the mailbox.
Yeah, so what?
When we were on the road after a show, I'd go into the club and hang out with people and talk to them. And if anyone wanted me to sign anything, I would do it. Never refused.
Nah, who cares?
But I see bands these days like Kiss and Motley Crue charging their fans for a meet and greet. I mean, are you freaking kidding me? $900 to meet Vince Neil? I don't think so. But since I'm a regular guy, it's okay to come on my Facebook page and tell me I suck.
You do?
Yeah, and that may be true, but just be warned, I don't eat every crap sandwich that gets shoved in my face anymore. I'm just saying.
Very pointed and provocative commentary.
Another thing I don't like about Facebook is people who refuse to get on Facebook.
How dare they?
Yeah, I know you're saying I don't have time for that.
Losers.
But come on, what's wrong with you?
The nerve.
Unless you're a self-centered person who has a problem with revealing every intimate detail of their personal life, I suggest you get a Facebook account and immediately start posting pictures of what you had for dinner tonight. I'm just saying.
There was a touch of sarcasm.
Now, believe it or not, I actually have no problem with about 93.7% of all the people on Facebook. However, the people who I have the biggest problem with on Facebook are the people on Facebook who say they are quitting Facebook. Oh, yes, I know, I understand. You're tired of the drama, and you need to spend more time with your family and Lord and Savior. And I'm sure you had the fullest intentions of staying off Facebook for at least a week. But seriously, you couldn't make it through an entire day? You just had to break down by 7 p.m. and go on and make a status update telling everyone how awesome coffee is? Really? Sometimes Facebook just annoys the hell out of me. I'm just saying. Here we go with another spin of the big wheel, and it's going to end up on listener emails and comments. It's always good to hear from you guys. And first up, I got an email from Phil Robinson. And Phil said, another great show. Love the inside info on Sam Taylor. I've always wondered what went down between him and the bands he was involved with, but no one ever seemed to want to talk about it. Based on your comments, I begin to understand why. Thanks for your honesty and insight, and thanks for providing me a great distraction from the nonsense that goes on in my workplace and for crushing my skull.
It really hurts.
Well, you are welcome, Phil. It's always great to hear from listeners like you. And yeah, the Sam Taylor thing is always kind of a touchy topic. I don't want to bash the guy because he did some great stuff for us as a manager and as a producer. But when you get into business with people, sometimes things go sour, and it sure did in that situation. Not to mention, so many weird things happened back during that time period. I've just got to talk about it.
The following story is remarkable.
I remember in the beginning, we wanted to make a newsletter to send out to our fans. And we were writing stories, and I was making drawings and doing the artwork. But we were on the road at the time, so the Wild Silas Production Company was going to put it out for us. Well, before long, Sam and the people at the office started adding their own things into the newsletter. And before you know it, it started turning into the All Things Wild Silas newsletter. So I made a call into the office and I said, you know, Sam, we appreciate everything you do, but we'd kind of like this to just be about Galactic Cowboys. And he said, okay, fine. And from then on, not another Galactic Cowboy newsletter was ever seen again.
That, my friends, is a story.
So for me, it was just always kind of a mixture of good and bad. There was all this great stuff that was going on, but at the same time, there'd be all these things that would just kind of taint it. And a good example is one year for Christmas, Sam gave all four of us these really cool flight jackets. And they all had these giant Galactic Cowboy patches on the back. But on the front, instead of having our names, it had the Wild Silas logo. So yeah, those were some interesting times when a lot of money was floating around and we weren't seeing any of it. Within months of signing a $750,000 deal with Geffen, Alan was delivering pizza and Ben was inseminating horses. We weren't exactly living the life of rock stars.
There was one obvious set of losers in this story.
Yeah, so that was that, and I should probably shut up before somebody tries to sue me.
Yes, you should.
Now, I also got some differences of opinion on the music I played on the last episode. And while Benjamin Adler thought that Life, Sex, and Death was a strange band with one of the worst gimmicks ever, Chris Becton in Texas wrote to say, thanks for the Life, Sex, and Death. That CD was brilliant.
I bet it was.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Chris on that one. Gimmick or no gimmick, LSD was a cool band. And even better than that CD, live, they just flat out rocked.
No, they didn't.
I also got the usual cheap shots that I always get when I play the metalcore stuff on the show. Matthew Kirshner said, falling in reverse, you old timers need better new music. And he suggested that I try Dark Tranquility, Amorphous, and Rotting Christ.
It's just wonderful stuff.
Well, all right, Matthew. I've actually got the new Dark Tranquility. I didn't really like it, but let's check it out.
Where is the flame that torched our soul?
Okay, well, I saw Dark Tranquility a couple years ago open for Killswitch, and I actually like some of the music, but the vocals after a while just kind of bore me. And I know the criticism people say to me about the metalcore stuff that I like. They say it all sounds the same and it's formulated. Well, isn't this formulated? I guess the haters feel like this is more creative or possibly more true metal because it doesn't go to a melodic, clean vocal on the chorus. I don't know. But to me, when the vocals are doing the same thing like this through the entire song, it makes you sound like every other band in the world that is doing this kind of thing. But that's just me.
What an idiot!
All right, well, getting back to other emails and comments, referring to the rant that I did on the Family Feud, Jeffrey Elliott said, "Just so you know, I am an animal with a big package."
Whoa!
Jeffrey also agreed with me on my review of the new Queensryche, and he says, "Glad I didn't buy it." Well, Jeffrey, I just review the CDs. I leave those decisions up to you, but I'm glad when I can save you money.
I guarantee it.
However, I did hear from at least one person who likes the new Queensryche, and that's Steve Simpson. And in his humble opinion, the new singer is great. Well, Steve, I didn't say the guy wasn't a good singer. I just said he sounded just like Jeff Tate. My problem was the songs on that album I just didn't think were that awesome. It's not a horrible CD, but yeah, some of that sounded like Dawkins to me. To which Steve replied, "What's wrong with Dawkins?"
Yeah!
Well, Steve, if this were the late 80s, I'd say, well, they make some embarrassing videos, but George Lynch is an awesome guitar player. But since you asked me that question in 2013, that tells me all I need to know about your taste in music. And I'm just kidding, of course.
Sure you are.
I also got an email from Anthony in New Jersey who suggested that I get on Twitter. He said it'd be a good way to connect with a lot of new people and give the show a lot more exposure. So, yeah, I will consider that, Anthony. But at the same time, I saw the other day that Jennifer Love Hewitt is quitting Twitter.
No!
Yeah, I couldn't believe it either.
This can't be real.
Apparently, she's just had it with all the negative tweets, and she just said, enough is enough. And I thought, somebody's writing something negative about Jennifer Love Hewitt? I mean, what could you possibly say to her other than, you are smoking hot, hashtag, I love boobies.
That's about it.
But anyway, let me know if you think I ought to get on Twitter. Anthony in New Jersey seems to think I should.
He's insane!
And finally, Dennis Wolbolt wrote and said, "Hey, Monty, just listen to Rockcast 114. I like the Wild Hearts song you played, and I was wondering if you could do a segment on the Wild Hearts and introduce the audience to your favorite band."
Bad idea.
Well, another good suggestion, Dennis. And yes, I have loved that band for years, and like a lot of stuff that I play on this show, people in the beginning had never heard of the Wild Hearts, but they end up loving them too. And what's not to love? Ginger has the ability to put everything that I like about music into one song. And they have got so many awesome songs. But right now, I am going to try to narrow it down to my top 10 favorite Wild Hearts songs of all time. So let's get it started at number 10 off Earth vs. the Wild Hearts, Everlone.
In my eyes.
Number 10 is always tough because you're leaving off songs you love. But I had to go with Everlone because it's got such a great melody, harmony, vocals, and punk aggression.
It's so sick and twisted.
Number 9 on my list is a ballad, which means Mr. David Whiteman and Anthony in New Jersey will not like it. Why? Because they hate ballads. They're ballad haters. There's just no way to candy coat it. However, the rest of you will love this song because it's Lily's Garden. You know how God gave James Hetfield all the best riffs, and then he scattered a few around to the rest of us?
Yeah.
Well, I think he gave all the great melodies to Ginger. And it's not fair, but there's nothing we can do about it except listen and love it. And here's another great melody at number 8. It's the Jackson Whites. I wanna be alone just like the Jackson Whites. Oh yeah, I'll be jamming along to this song playing air guitar, and I'll be singing the Jackson Whites, and then I'll think, I wonder what those words mean. Yeah, because I have no idea. But who cares? It's a great song. As is the next one at number 7. It's Stormy in the North and Karma in the South. And once again, I have no idea what that means. While the world was being spoon-fed Green Day and the Chili Peppers, stuff like this was going on in England, but your average person on the street didn't even know who the Wild Hearts were. But now, thanks to the Rockcast, you can go out and find this stuff and be a happy person.
Yay!
Yes, in a way, I'm giving you the greatest gift of all.
Huh?
I know, you thought it was love or possibly salvation from hellfire. But no, it's this. And at number 6, one of the most amazing songs I've ever heard, Sky Babies.
Sky babies, sky babies.
The song is over 11 minutes long, and it goes from rock to metal to jazz and then back to rock again. And it's got more great melodies in it than Jack Johnson or Dave Matthews have written in their entire lives.
How do you know?
We're halfway through my list of favorite Wild Hearts songs, and number 5 is Caprice. Why can't we hear stuff like that on the radio? Why does it always have to be Shinedown or Nickelback?
These are all legitimate questions.
Favorite song number 4 is a song that should have been on the radio. It's about the radio, and it's called Vanilla Radio. You know, when I listen to the Wild Hearts, I'm hearing so many of my favorite bands like the Beatles, Ramones, Metallica, Thin Lizzy, Cheap Trick, and it's just all blended into one delicious rock and roll shake. And number 3 is another great song off the PHUQ album. It's Nita Nitro. Now, Ginger is such a great songwriter. He'll come up with a melody that's just awesome, and then they'll go to the next part and it's even better, and then he'll come up with a third or fourth melody in the same song that's even better than all the others.
I'm just mind boggled.
He also comes up with some great guitar riffs, and here's one of my favorite riffs from my number 2 favorite Wild Hearts song. This is Girlfriend Clothes. And that would bring me to my number one favorite Wild Heart song of all time. And it's also one of my favorite songs, period, of all time. And it's the first thing I ever heard by him. I saw a video of it one night on Headbangers Ball back in 93, and I was sold. I ran out the next day looking for the CD, and when I found it, it had a sticker on the cover that said Motorhead meets Jan and Dean, and I said, that is me. So here it is, number one from the Wild Hearts, it's Sucker Punch. Alright, here we go, spinning the wheel once again, and I can't even imagine what's gonna come up this time. But it's slowing down, and it's coming to a stop on your top tens.
What a surprise.
Okay, so you heard my top 10 list of my favorite Wild Heart songs, but now it's your turn, and you send them in to me. They can be about anything. They don't have to be about music. In fact, the more original and weird they are, the better your chances are for me reading them on the show. And if I do indeed read your list on the show, you are in the top 10 playoffs and eligible for an amazing prize package.
Wow.
Today's list comes to us from Tim in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And Tim has sent me his top 10 thoughts of today. And it starts out at number 10 with a question. Monty, did you ever try a beer? Of course, Tim is referring to when a couple of years ago, I suggested that I might try my first beer. And I thought about it, but the answer is no, I still have not.
What are you, gay?
I've tried a couple other things like a margarita. Every now and then I'll have a little wine, but the truth is, I just don't like the taste of alcohol. So I still don't even know what beer tastes like, but if I'm going to do something bad to myself, I'll probably just stick with Dr. Pepper.
What a wimp!
Number 9 on Tim's list is, I wish I'd kept my old Thrashmaster guitar pedal, best dirty tone ever. Okay, well, I'll take your word for it, Tim.
That makes no sense.
Number 8 is another question, and Tim says, you said it was expensive, but how exactly does the funding work when you go on tour? Headliner or opening act?
Wouldn't you like to hear the answer?
Well, back in the 90s when I was touring, the record company would give you tour support. They'd front you the money for a tour bus or a van and your money on the road, like food. And a lot of times you've got hotel expenses, you've got to pay roadies. And then theoretically, the record company would recoup all that from your record royalties. But these days, since there aren't a lot of record sales, there aren't a lot of record deals or record companies. So there's not a lot of support out there in general, so most bands have to make it on their merchandise, and I would guess from what they make on the shows. So if you've got a favorite band or artist and you want to see them continue to make albums and tour and do podcasts, buy a t-shirt or something, you know, support them.
Well, that was subtle.
Number 7 on Tim's list is interesting stories on Sam Taylor. Thanks for sharing. Well, you are welcome, Tim. Thought of the day number 6 is congrats on your wedding. Well, that's very nice of you, man. I appreciate it. Number 5 is where did the YouTube videos go of GC playing acoustic in some record store?
Nobody cares.
Well, I have no idea, Tim, but if you want to see my crunchy videos, I believe they're still up on YouTube.
Nope, not interested.
Number 4 is I would crowdsource the crap out of funding new GC music.
Whatever that means.
Well, that certainly is a thought.
Yes, it is.
Number 3 is, could you pass my email on to Bass Tech Patrick in Minneapolis? Hoping to check with him on September concert transportation plans. In other words, I think Tim wants to bum a ride off Patrick to the Galactic Cowboy Show in Houston. And I say, yeah, why not? Any way you can figure out how to get yourself to that show is a good idea.
Okay, says who?
Thought of the day number 2 is skull crushed by that Lost GC song you played a while back.
Huh?
Okay, well, I think you are referring to that rare demo I played of Chia Pet. And I've had quite a few people say they liked that and wondered where they could get it, so forth. I'm glad you liked it. It was one that we never released, but maybe we can re-record that someday and put it out there for you.
Ain't gonna happen.
And finally, number 1 on Tim's top 10 thoughts of today, awesome podcast. Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate you listening, and thanks for a great top 10 list. If you want to be like Tim and make your way into the top 10 playoffs, send me yours today. The excitement continues as I spin the wheel. And this time it ends up on What's on TV? That's right, I said, What's on TV? Well, I'm glad I asked. And it's summertime, so believe me, not much. Mostly all there is a lot of reruns. And if you don't like baseball, all that's going on in sports is tennis, golf, and the WNBA.
Yeah.
And trust me, I don't think I'll ever be desperate enough to watch professional women's basketball.
It's horrible.
And I really can't figure out who watches the WNBA. Because every man I've ever asked says, hell no, I don't watch that crap. And most women don't like sports in general. So I don't know, maybe it's the same people who watch soccer or bowling.
Geeks!
I mean, the thing is that men want to see guys taking off from the free throw line and slamming it down. And yeah, I know there's a girl in the WNBA now who can, quote, dunk the ball. But you and I both know that's probably only going to happen a couple of times a year, and that's just not going to cut it. So I will not be watching any professional women's basketball until one or two things happen. I suggest that they get an all-star team together and play a college men's team. Or better yet, how about they play a boys' high school championship team? And if the WNBA women get their asses beat, the whole league has to fold. That would at least pique my interest and get me to tune in for a couple of minutes.
You sexist pig.
Now, something that I do watch is That Metal Show on VH1 Classic, and the other night they had Dave Mustaine from Megadeth on there. And they asked him to rank his favorite Megadeth albums, and he chose Countdown to Extinction number one. My favorite will always be Peace Sells, but they did not ask me.
Shocking!
They also talked about their classic video for Sweating Bullets. Remember that?
Nope.
Oh, it was that song that went, "Hello me, meet the real me."
I'm sorry, come again?
"In my misfits way of life."
No, it's not ringing a bell.
Oh, well, anyway, they talked about that, and then Dave made an awesome joke.
What was it exactly?
Okay, check this out. It goes like this. What does somebody say when they run out of drugs at a Grateful Dead show?
What?
God, this band sucks. Yeah, so That Metal Show when you want a good laugh.
I don't find that funny.
Now, if you have absolutely no life whatsoever, you might want to check out Bret Michaels' Rock My RV. It's basically Bret making bad suggestions to people on how to remodel their RV, and they edit in a few shots of him where it makes it look like he's actually working. We know that's not true. And by the end, you're just saying, well, this is no Rock of Love, that's for sure. So I cannot recommend it.
I'm disappointed and sad.
And finally, like I always do in the summer, I'm watching Big Brother. Once again, they've taken 16 regular people, put them all in a house with nothing to do, and watch them eventually hate each other. There's always one of everything. You got a black guy, an Asian girl, a hot chick, a gay guy, and a bunch of models. And the producers of the show do this on purpose. They know their cultural differences will eventually cause conflict, and that's what they want. And I'll tell you, it makes for some great TV, and I can't get enough of the show.
That is pathetic.
Unfortunately, I have to report that there's been some things going on inside the house that are so offensive that a couple of contestants have actually been fired from their jobs outside the house. Oh yes, and you probably wonder, what could they have done that was so bad? Rape or possibly attempted murder? No. They made some jokes.
Oh my God!
Yeah, apparently the hot chick made some extremely insensitive remarks about the Asian. And she said something like, "I wonder if she'll do my nails."
Oh my God.
"And she'll love you a long time."
Oh my God.
Well, you can imagine, once the word got out to the media, all hell broke loose. And now the blonde model from Texas has been portrayed as a complete racist. I don't know if she is or not, but for the love of God, could we stop painting ourselves into a corner with all this politically correct bullcrap? What happened to the days when you could make a joke and everybody in the world didn't get completely offended? I, for one, am a pasty white man. And if you come up to me and tell me to put my shirt on because the light is blinding you, I am not going to have my feelings hurt. So please, everybody just lighten up and watch some Big Brother. It's on 3 times a week, and there's still another 2 months before they give $500,000 to one of these racist scumbags. And that, my friends, is going to do it for another episode of the Rockcast.
It's about time.
If you'd like to contact me or check out my merchandise or hire me to do a painting or make a kind donation, go to my website, montycalvin.net. Thanks to everyone for spreading the word about the show. And a special shout out to a few of my friends on Facebook like Liz, Greg P. Russell, Eduardo, and Naomi. They all put up links or made status updates talking about the Rockcast, and I really appreciate it. I'll be back soon with more mayhem and cool tunes, but right now I'm going to play you out with one last song by a cool band called Maylene and the Sons of Disaster. These are some southern boys, and they may not crush your skull, but they will give you a beat down you're not going to forget.
You're going to get a boot stomping on your face forever.
But that's going to do it for me for now. But until next time, this is Monty saying take care, don't let anyone tell you what to like, unless it's me, and
rock on.
End.